You're listening to a Countout Podcast. Countout provides a wide variety of bonus content that is right at your fingertips. On the Countout Patreon, our podcasts are creating bonus content exclusively for you, their listener. For only $5 a month, you can watch instant reactions to major shows, watch-alongs, early access to main feed podcasts, some fun goof and gag audio, plus shows from some of the podcasters' outside interests. It's the best way to experience all that the Countout Network has to offer. So head on down to patreon.com/countout to take part in some of the best and most fun content wrestling has to offer. Again, that is patreon.com/countout. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Ring Post Radio. I am the voice of the Tasteless Ryan Knightstein. With me, as always, is the man, the myth, the legend, Scotty Edwards. Scotty, hold on. You're still on mute. Let's unmute you. Nope, I'm hitting the button.
Unbelievable. Hello, everybody. Look, I'm very happy to be here. Very happy to talk about this show. Very excited to talk about this show. Very excited to be live for the people at home. Of course, if you check this out later, thank you for listening. And
thanks for coming back.
That's true. If you were here with us this morning, appreciate it. If you're here with us tonight, appreciate it. If you're here with us whenever tomorrow, you feel like listening to this, thank you. And excited to talk Revolution.
Yeah, AEW Revolution. What a show.
I'm sorry,
Scotty. Go right ahead.
I told you this in the lead up to the show, that this has the possibility to be the greatest AEW pay-per-view of all time. And when I watched that final three count and the show was over, I walked away saying undeniably. And you know why? Because they didn't need surprises. They didn't need big debuts. They just needed who they have on the roster to deliver. And that's what this show did. Sure. Was there some matches that maybe didn't live up to hype? Maybe. But you know what? They had a lot of matches that did.
Yeah.
And exceeded expectations.
So, yeah, let's start off there. Is it better than All Out 2021?
Yes. There's no match on All Out 2021 that touched two of these matches. Two. Not one. Two.
All right.
Let me take that back. The Steel Cage on that show, fantastic. Right?
Yeah.
Fantastic. But this show had two of them, in my opinion. Two phenomenal, unbelievable show, great atmosphere. The crowd saved themselves for the end of the night. I can't blame them. Oh my god, I'm on cloud nine, folks.
So I'm looking at All Out on Cage Match right now. 9.54 for the show is what All Out has. Obviously, AEW Revolution just ended. People are rating it currently. There's 18 votes in right now. 9.05. So another
put a one.
Yeah, one person put a one. Did leave a review? Can we find that one?
Yeah, they did. Worst pay per view they've ever seen. Shut up. Get out of here.
Way too many table spots. Did you only watch the main event?
That's crazy. This is why this comment needs to be deleted. But
yeah, it will probably be deleted if I click on there. Night. Oh, I can't. I have to log in. Anyway, so at 9.05 is where it's sitting. I'm sure that one rating will be deleted. But still, 9.54 is what All Out has. The top matches from that show, obviously, like you said, the main event, the World Tag Team Title Steel Cage Match, Lucha Brothers versus Young Bucks, which was match of the year that year for 2021. Second best match on the show looks like to be the main event AEW World Title Match. Kenny Omega defeats Christian Cage, which you and I talked to each other, I think, before the show. I don't think it was like right. I think it was after we recorded that match was really good, but the Rampage match was a little bit better and kind of like spoiled this match, this main event in a weird sense. There's also Punk versus Darby Allin on the show, Moxley, Kojima, Miro, Eddie Kingston. Where's Miro? It's Chris Statlander, Britt Baker. And then the lows of the show were the Women's Casino Battle Royal, Ruby Soho getting the win, Paul White versus QT Marshall in the semi-main, and then the final fight between Chris Jericho and MJF were sort of the lows of that show. This show, AEW Revolution, I think had the last three matches were all great. Some all-timers. We'll get to that. The two matches in the middle, the AEW International title and the tag team match, slow start. I think partly.
I really like the tag match by the end.
Yeah, I think by the end, both of them kind of got together. I think it was partly the crowd. The crowd had to get back into both matches. The Danielson Eddie Kingston, great.
Of course.
Christian Cage, Daniel Garcia, really solid. I don't know if I'll say great, but really, really good. And then you can obviously say the weak matches here. I mean, already a cage match. People are saying the weak matches are the scramble and the women's world title. I think that's probably better than All Out. It feels right now in this moment, it feels better, but you know, we're coming off of three great matches, an all-time match probably with Ospreay and Takeshita, an all-time moment of Sting's retirement. I think it's better, but I think we have to get into it to really discuss and dissect. If you've never joined us on one of these live streams, what we'll do obviously is go match by match, give our thoughts of all these matches as they unfold. And then, you know, if we see any interesting thoughts on the presser as that unfolds, we'll talk about it in real time as well. I'm sure it's happening a little later because they're doing the Sting celebrations and whatnot.
It's going right now.
This presser?
Yep.
Perfect. Let's start off with the main event and we'll work our way around the card. Let's start off the main event because that's the big moment of the show. That's the main event. That's the big time moment of Sting. Sting's final retirement. You get the AEW World Tag Team title match. You get Young Bucks, just all-time great workers. You get Darby Allin fucking killing himself.
So when he set up that glass and when I saw the chairs, I said, all right, like, I don't know, suplex or something through it, you know, like just thinking like the mm-hmm. possibilities
that jet, like the similar Jeff Hardy spot when he
did I'm thinking of the was it Christian and Darby on the steel steps?
Yeah
I was thinking like something like that, and then I see this ladder and I see him climbing to the top of this ladder and I'm thinking, there's no way they can let him do this, and then he did it, and like I legitimately thought he was going to die. Like, that was so much blood so quickly. I was terrified.
Did his, what was it, left shoulder blade?
Yeah.
Immediately white. Did you know this? I don't know if it was the bone underneath or glass stuck into his skin, but it was immediately white, I noticed. And I saw that and I was just like, what is this guy doing?
I thought he was dead.
There's a moment way later in the match, after the Ric Flair spot and the Dragon Steamboat spot, way farther in the match, where they pan out into the wide and Darby's laying at the same position on the ground, hasn't moved at all,
which he shouldn't have, to be fair. Like, oh my god, I was so worried, but like at the same time, this was the first match in I don't know how long that I was standing and pacing and jumping up and down and getting it. I felt like a kid again watching this entire match. This is, to me, this is as perfect as a match can be. That's how I feel about it. I have nothing. I can say nothing bad about this match. It was story. It was emotional. It was had action. It had everything I could have asked for more. Like, there is nothing. I have nothing to say bad about it. I have nothing. I just have praise after praise after praise. The Young Bucks were perfect for this role. Perfect. This match is going to be voted the match of the year by a lot of people. And rightfully so. Because this is an all-time match. This will never be forgotten. It's Sting's retirement. Darby, again, fucking killed himself almost. Like, that was the worst bump I've ever seen.
That was insane.
He bounced.
CM Punk is rolling in his hospital bed right now.
Dude, he was right. I watched it. I was like, yeah, no real glass. That's a good call. I was terrified. And then Sting went through glass.
Yeah. Oh, the moment the glass came out, I was like, oh, Sting's got to go through that. Absolutely. Sting's got to go through that glass.
But I watched that glass the first time. I was like, Darby's going to kill himself somehow. And then again, I can't stress enough, like, he almost did. But like once Darby was out of it and just like working on Sting and by the way, his sons at the beginning, phenomenal. I'm watching these two. I'm like, oh my God, they have their own version of the Creed brothers. If they want them. I was like, this is crazy. The one that dressed up in Wolfpack Sting.
Send them to All Japan. We got to work the Saitos, brother.
The one that was doing the Wolfpack Sting.
Yeah.
Was getting air on those splashes. It was insane. I'm on cloud nine after that match. Like, and it's the fact he won. Like
let's talk about this. Him, Okada, all these guys now putting over the next generation in AEW. What the hell?
Here's my thing, though. He didn't want to win that match.
No, he didn't want to win the tag titles to begin with.
But you know, the Young Bucks didn't want to win the match. They're like, yeah. No, we're gonna be the perfect foils for you to win, and they were.
And guess what? We're the EVPs. You have to lose. You have to win here, yeah. Buddy.
Like literally, they did their role. The benefit of him. Oh my God. It was like I watched this match. I watched this show and I'm like, this and the Muto show last year. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. Like this is how legends retire. And I'm sitting here thinking back to like how Kurt Angle had to retire, thinking back to like how all these wrestlers had to retire through WWE because there was just nowhere else for them to retire the right way.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful AEW exists for this one show. Like, nothing else. If it's just this show that I remember from AEW's history, that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, it was amazing. It was amazing. When he took the super kick and then did the chat, oh my God. Me and my friend were losing it watching that.
My friend and I were losing it as well. My friend really wanted a Joker Sting moment where. There's a moment where he takes a super kick and then he gets back up after the one. I think it was actually the EVP trigger. And you could see like his mouth is bleeding. And my friend was like, you know what rule if Sting noticed that and then took the blood and did the Joker Sting smile? And I was like, holy shit, that would have ruled. But whatever. If I could, Scotty.
Yeah.
If I could be a freaking fly on the wall.
Yeah.
I guess. Or the barricade. Right next to Nikita Koloff. Lex Luger was apparently over there as well. DDP was over there as well, apparently. And all these guys, Magnum TA.
Are those two those signed to WWE Legends deals? Is that why they show them?
I thought DDP was, but apparently he was there. There was a video of him going through the crowd with Lex Luger and Magnum.
Well, I'm just guessing that's why they didn't show them.
That's totally plausible. And they're all sitting there. I would love to be the fly on the room that's like seeing Sting do glass bumps. Here's the thing, Scotty. Here's the thing. The shit that's in this match, and this is also what's great. Sting, all-time legend from the territory days through the new 2000s into WWE, into retirement, back into AEW, into the modern period. Think about what this match is. Think about how different this match. This match could never happen in the territories. Right? These glass bumps never happening. Mm-hmm. Not once. Not once would these happen. Young Bucks. He's facing the Young Bucks. A tag team that any old fogey out there doing some sort of WCW podcast about their most successful week somewhere between 82 and 84. Or maybe an old fogey out there that's really into tennis. And just dunks on the Young Bucks and Sting's out there with these guys doing glass table spots that you'd see in like GCW. You know what I mean? The legacy and evolution of Sting in keeping and not just doing what he does, but evolving with the times and keeping up with the times. He has always been on the pulse of wrestling today, understood how good the Young Bucks are, and is willing to put his body through glass panes to ensure that he goes out. He does not. No way does Sting have to do this, but he does it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's Sting.
Sting is like a very unique wrestler in that he always was with the times, right? He was always willing to update himself, and maybe the Crow character always remained, right? Like the look, but he always changed. And I'm watching this, and even, I'm just thinking to myself,
real quickly, even the update to the Crow character is evolving, yes, from that, like,
absolutely
70s or 80s, you know, like surfer, you know, Hulk Hogan-esque figure, into the grittier, more quote unquote realistic Crow character.
You know? I don't want to be that guy. I really don't. But I'm watching this, I'm like, Undertaker could never. You know, like, Undertaker had to do a cinematic match. And, you know, it was great. I'm happy he had this career like this. But, like, Sting had to retire. And you could tell through his entire run, I'm going to do everything because this could be my last match. That's how he treated everything. And watching this, right, he does the powerbomb through a table. He takes a suplex off the stage through tables, right? Like, he's just doing all these things. He goes through glass, like I said. He just did everything. Like, and you said it perfectly, right? He's doing this match against the Young Bucks, the these two guys that old heads hate.
The epitome of hatred in modern wrestling is the Young Bucks.
And I loved the Steamboat stuff, the Flair, like that, the Flair stuff. Like, that was just like, it was a cherry on top for me, because it's like, you know what? I don't care. Like, this is just like, this is, it's one of those matches where you just kind of lose yourself.
It has the element of being, not ethereal is not the word, but like, it just, it, the magic of wrestling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It takes you out of it. It all becomes like, you know, unbelievable that I'm watching this on my television screen.
Thank God this main event, by the way. Like, the show would have been dead after this, no matter what. And we're going to talk about another phenomenal match in like a few minutes, but like, the show, it doesn't matter what would have followed this. Nothing could. And that is a credit to AEW. That is a credit to Sting. That is a credit to everyone that put the show together. Everyone that competed on this show. But especially these four.
Yeah.
Once that bell rang, they knew they had an objective. And the freaking team that won took the craziest bumps. The Young Bucks didn't take that crazy of bumps. Nick Jackson took the table spot on the outside.
Yeah. Matt Jackson took, you know, did that suplex, obviously, the Sting.
Yeah.
Sting, like, what, four tables, three tables and glass?
Yeah.
Matt, I think, went through that table, but I think other than that, I don't recall him doing any sort of major bump in the entire match.
He was 100% right, by the way, Sting. Like, you're going to want to save the tape. I am going to want to save that tape. I recorded that. I made sure. Listen, I usually watch on pay-per-view anyways, but that was like a show I recorded because I was like, I know I'm gonna want to remember this show.
Yeah.
And my God, I'm on cloud nine. I've never felt like this after an AEW pay-per-view. Never. Mm-hmm. This is the ultimate feeling. The Young Bucks have two all-timer matches in, like, on the two top pay-per-views ever in AEW's history.
Yeah. We're talking about All Out. All Out was the other one, right?
Yeah. So. The Young Bucks did the damn thing.
Yeah.
And
people will still wake up tomorrow and dunk on them.
Listen, you can dunk on them all they want, but when it comes down to the seriousness of a match and the match itself and a story to be told, mm-hmm, they do it right.
Yeah. It's astronomical. What took place that made of it. It's the Darby Allin.
And he caught up.
I can't even the, you know, I was fine, you know, the Ric Flair stuff. I was fine with the Steamboat stuff. I will say about his sons, just jumping a little too far. I know the Stinger Splash is really, really going, but just a little too far, you know. Just a little too far to get rid of that Stinger Splash. So you get a little too close. And then that was always a touching tribute, that little promo video thing they spent of going through the highlights of Sting. I got little chills, I will say, literal chills, when he's like, it's showtime, the final showtime, let's go. Actual chills running up my arm in that moment. It's just, you know, it's just, was the match the best work rate match, or what, you know, modern work rate stuff? Was it like work rate like Will Ospreay versus Takeshita? No, of course not. But it worked in every conceivable fashion that these guys can go. And it's undoubtedly one of the best matches of the year, and how legends can go out.
It's the greatest retirement match I've ever seen.
I mean, it has to be up there. I mean, what other, the Muto one was really good. I would say the Ric Flair Shawn Michaels one was a really good retirement match, despite not being the actual retirement of Ric Flair. That was a good moment in wrestling history.
I just don't think anything tops this.
It's great. And now Sting wins, doesn't put over the Next Generation. What a worker.
I'm happy they made him win, truthfully. Like,
yeah.
Now, because now you're going to benefit. Now you're going to get an AEW tag title tournament or something.
Yeah, that's the belief. So obviously the belief is that they're going to
confirm it.
Yeah, give up the tag titles, vacate them, and there's probably going to be some sort of tournament held at some point. I would have to imagine that we will get some sort of announcement in the presser as that unfolds. But that would probably
breaking news.
Sure, I'll take some breaking news.
Will Ospreay is questionable for Wednesday. Tony said Will talked him into not scrapping it immediately. It's wait and see on how Will feels after the nasty bump.
I don't give a shit. Will, you're showing up.
Well, he's definitely showing up.
You just do the match. Just do the match and take the break afterwards. You're fine. It's just a little scrap. We'll get to that in a moment.
He says he's Wolverine. He'll be fine in a couple days.
Perfect. Fine. He's young. He's 30.
He's not going to miss it.
Put some aloe vera on that skin.
It looks rough. he showed it there in the zone posted image. He looks rough.
The main event, I think, is just an all-time main event. All-time closer of pay-per-view. And I think there's no better way to end Sting's career with his like with WCW that final quote
cut off. Wow.
The final quote. I've got to wait. I'm getting cues. End of AEW broadcast.
Just two of the greatest AEW matches of all time happened on the show.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, where to next?
Great question.
Do I go back to the top?
Let's go all the way to the top. We'll go real quickly at the very, very top. 0 Hour had the 12-man tag team match. Bang Bang Cesar Jane.
I had no thoughts about that show.
Defeating Lethal, Jarrett, Private Party, Satnam Singh, and Willie Mack, plus the tag team match, Chris Statlander, Willow Knight versus Julie Hart and Sky Blue. We'll say this. So glad the crowd gave a standing ovation to the women's tag team match after being silent for nearly 13 minutes and 30 seconds. I'm glad
Pac's we got coming it. Back.
Yes, we also got the Pac announcement that he is officially coming back. Did Pac's face look skinnier to you?
I didn't ever see the announcement.
Okay, then never mind.
I just heard he was coming back.
Did anyone listening to the chat, did Pac look like, I couldn't really tell like body wise, but his face looked slimmer.
Let me look.
And I wasn't sure if it was the screen or maybe how, like, you know, maybe the lens or something was.
I think it's his beard.
Is his beard was something with his beard is different? I don't know. I got thrown off so much. So much. He didn't shave it all the way down, though.
But he cleaned it up.
Yeah, but the beard would have made it longer, right? His beard would have been longer.
His beard was long and nasty. No, I don't know.
But wouldn't that would have elongated? I'm going to think about that for the next day.
I have no idea. All right, man. I'm happy for you, man.
Yeah, Jeff Bugenhagen, he did look like he was slimmer, but it could have been the camera lens. That's what I thought. I thought maybe it could have been the camera lens, because that is totally plausible of how it anamorphic lens. Doesn't matter. Zero Hour, there were two matches that happened. The other thing, the note there was Jay White cuts a promo afterwards saying, "Don't worry, I can always get back into singles action, and maybe at Big Business I'll have to finish some business on my own," or whatever.
Yeah, that was very confusing. He said Big Business and everybody popped. Mm-hmm. I was like, did I miss something?
I think,
by the way, you know the greatest thing of all time?
What's that?
This big show's happening, right? We're all working towards Big Business. Mm-hmm. Mercedes Moné is hanging out with Momo Coco.
Future Cinderella tournament winner, Momo Coco.
This big AEW show's happening that she could be watching, and she's like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm not going to be there. Who's Sting? Who? What? Jeff Bugenhagen asked the question, Jay White versus Okada at Big Business. I mean, that was my immediate thought. But then what is that? We announce Okada before the show? They don't really do stuff in the moment like that.
Open challenge.
Open challenge. Jay White doesn't open.
Why would Jay White open challenge? I don't know, because he wants to get into singles action again.
I think Jay White and Serena Deeb should come out and do a tag team open challenge. Then Okada and Mercedes Moné come out, answer the challenge, and we finally finish off that Battle in the Valley missing thread from a year ago. I'm trying to finish that out. I think that's what we got to do. Start of AEW Revolution. Let's get into that. Currently, now it's at 9.24, folks. It's risen. It's rising. It's risen like a bread in the oven. I don't know. AEW TNT title match opened the show. Christian Cage defeats Daniel Garcia in 16 minutes and 52 seconds. I thought Daniel Garcia put in a great performance here, but obviously succumbed to the just sheer numbers of Killswitch and Nick Wayne and all the sort of patriarch members here. Also rocking some new pants. I couldn't decide the entire time if I liked the new pants, but I think it ended up saying I liked it. The person I was watching the show with, Andrew, my friend Andrew, said that it kind of felt like it was like really super bedazzled, sort of like Shawn Michaels pants is what his opinion sort of was. Was sort of this.
I really wish he had the trunks.
Yeah, I love the trunks on Daniel Garcia, but you know, hey, I'll take these pants. What do you think about the TNT title match to open the show?
Good open. Hated the ending.
Of Daniel Garcia losing or just how he lost?
Both.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That was a little of a letdown doing that. But I guess if you want to protect him, it's a way to do it, which is fine. But to open the show, and we did it twice, right? We did this exact finish twice. We did this here and the women's title match.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know.
At least they spaced it out this time. Sometimes they don't space those things out.
Yeah, sometimes we like to run it back to back.
I thought it was a really good match here. I agree with what you're saying. I think that it was meant to create more heat on Christian, and it was meant to have Daniel Garcia lose, but have sort of an out to losing. It's sort of a cheap thing, especially when they do it twice. And I totally agree with what you're saying here, but I thought Daniel Garcia still looked great in defeat. I think that was the big idea as well, to ensure that he looked good in defeat.
I think he looked phenomenal.
Where does he go from here? I don't know. Christian Cage is obviously probably going to go to Adam Copeland. Canada's around the corner. As much as it would have been cool for Daniel Garcia to win, when you have Canada around the corner for AEW, obviously it's Adam Copeland versus Christian Cage in Toronto.
I wouldn't mind if he was the guy to beat Eddie.
Daniel Garcia?
Ooh. Mm-hmm. And not immediately, but well, in time.
You know how he can do that?
Beating Brian Danielson?
Winning the Continental Classic.
Oh, year-long reign for Eddie. I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all.
Do a solid year-long reign for Eddie, and then the Continental Classic, Daniel Garcia gets the win, and then faces, I assume, how it will work, is he faces Eddie at World's End?
I think that'd be good.
I think it's possible. I think it's plausible. And also it makes sense for the story. You know, had a season of where he lost. He really figured himself out, and then by year's end, he has I don't think he wins the whole thing, but he, you know, wins his block or something. Sure. And gets the, all the way through and beats Eddie. I think that could be a fun thing. He's being pushed. It's just it's the slower start.
He was part of that report as one of the big six.
It's patience when it comes to this guy. I mean, Daniel Garcia is 25.
Oh, I've had it.
he is 25 years old. He has plenty of time. Plenty of time for Daniel Garcia at a 25-year-old kid. I keep forgetting how young Daniel Garcia is.
It's insane.
He wrestled a guy in his 50 years old, Christian Cage. 50. Also, by the way, starting and ending these shows of the olds. We got Sting in the main event, Christian in the open, Billy Gunn in the opening of the Zero Hour.
Damn right, baby. Us. You want your latest update? I'm reading these. I'm reading the Trevor Dane tweets. Nothing's like that incredibly important.
Sure.
But Toni Storm said she wanted to spoil Tony Khan's big surprise. She responded for Big Business. She said, "Wendy Richter, I'm going to fuck you up."
Perfect. Perfect. Continues the bit.
Yeah. Will just talked a lot. He was very happy that he only swore four times.
Who?
Will Ospreay. He was very happy. He only capped it at four.
Perfect. I saw that Joe started, so I assume nothing interesting came out of Joe.
No. I mean, he has to face Wardlow. That's not interesting to anyone.
Yeah, that's not too interesting. I see the picture of Will Ospreay now. If it's
bad, I want real bad. When we get to that Scream match, I'm going to tell you exactly what I said.
Okay,
we'll
get to that in a moment. Next up, the AEW Continental title match, the New Japan Strong Open Weight and the Ring of Honor World title match. Eddie Kingston defeats Bryan Danielson. I mean, exactly what you thought it would be on the tin. You know, I don't think, you know, if this match was like a main event match, I think this match could have been even better. You know, I think, but
sure.
Second match on the card, great match to still do go out there and kill it.
It was, for me, the third best match of the show.
Yeah, I think that's probably
a good bet, honestly. A slight at the match.
Well, and I think that comes down to subjective opinion, honestly.
Yeah, it's not a slight at the match. I just think two matches, you know, were above and beyond the Call of Duty, essentially.
It was hard-hitting. It felt old school, a throwback in a lot of ways. Just the sheer attack on Eddie Kingston and his hand and arm and shoulder and whatnot, and him, you know, I love just like solid Eddie Kingston selling, you know what I mean, of like, he doesn't have to do this. Most people don't do this. When he takes the strap down, it just hurts to take it down. He goes for that shoulder just to remind you of, like, my shoulders hurt.
Yeah, they did phenomenal, these two. They've never missed.
No.
Never come close to missing, even.
No, they have not.
That's the incredible thing. They've, what, wrestled four times now? Yeah, so they had the one back at, like, Rampage.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, Once Upon a Time. I'm actually going to look this up because I don't know how many times they wrestled now. And then they had the two in the Continental Classic and then this one?
I believe that is correct. The main event, the finals, yeah. And the block match. And
this match. They have four matches in AEW, and they've just been absolutely fantastic. Incredible.
Yeah, just great match. I really don't have like a lot to say. A lot of stuff happened since that match, to be fair. I should have took notes, but I was hanging out with people. Yeah, just a great match. Eddie Kingston, where do we go from here? I don't know. We got the respect, the handshake after the match in classic Ring of Honor fashion.
Bryan Danielson refuses to win.
I said Ring of Honor fashion. Real quickly, the Nigel McGuinness commentary line. Of like, if he doesn't shake Eddie Kingston's hand, he will be spitting on the company that we built, or, you know, what, some sort of line like that. Mm-hmm. Fantastic line by Nigel McGuinness. But yes, you were saying about Eddie Kingston.
I don't remember, but this match, it was physical, it was hard hitting. The work to break down Eddie's arm and hand, and oh man, it was just so good. It was so physical. The slaps, like the clean slaps to the face, the chops. Oh my god! And on most pay-per-views, you'd be happy with this being the match of the night.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yet here we are.
did you see the post-match promo of the two of them in the medical area or whatever?
No.
Apparently it's really good. Really solid promo. Danielson gives a really good promo in it. So when you get a chance, I know Daniel Garcia also had a really good promo as well. So in defeat promo. So you know, hey, what they're doing with their post-match promo stuff in AEW is really, you know, they learned something from the Continental Classic that they can create more content immediately that's really compelling. So they can do a good thing. I also just remember a thing talking about selling with Eddie Kingston in that Christian Cage match. Obviously, in the match, part of the match is that he hurts his ankle or whatever running, and sells this idea that he's hurt ultimately just to use as a ploy. But Daniel Garcia continues to attack that ankle to the point where it actually affects Christian Cage and becomes a legit injury for Christian Cage during the match. That he's unable to do the spear halfway during the match or whatever. There's a point where he's like trying to get to the outside and he hurts his ankle and he couldn't really get to the outside fast enough. Just this idea of like, man, worked selling and turning it into a shoot injury is a very nice touch from that. I really like that. It's a tiny little story in that Christian Cage.
Tony Khan said this is their best night ever, top to bottom, best show ever, top to bottom.
All right.
If he said it, I'm definitely right. He also said Sting is very giving, not a political animal. Sting never pushed to have an undefeated run or the spotlight, but Tony felt very strongly about pushing him the way he did. Sting went out undefeated, in quotes.
Next up, AEW World Title number one contendership match, All-Star 8-Man Scramble match. Didn't quite realize this was the number one contendership match, but hey, I guess that makes sense. Wardlow.
Does it, though? Does it, though? All-Star?
Hey, there's no
All-Star?
There's no bigger all-star in AEW than Magnus. So we got the scramble match. Wardlow gets the win, as we all expected.
This stunk. Stinky freaking poo-poo. Oh, my God. This is so – I hated this match.
A couple, you know, so many moments of people not – ready for their next spot in the match, just waiting around. Wardlow out of position for the Dante Martin's dive.
Dante Martin messed up more times in this match than I gave the stars.
Oof. Oof, ba-boof. Which
I gave it 1.5. So,
which was fully upsetting. Yeah, you never want to see that from anybody, let alone like.
I felt bad for him. I really did.
But just so slow. Nobody, you know, I talk about this all the time where like the more people that are in a multi-man, the shorter I want it to be. You know what I mean? And it just so many moments of just people standing there. And, you know, I can give Magnus from CMLL a little bit of a reprieve. You know, he's from Mexico. He probably doesn't speak English.
Probably had no clue. In the match.
Yeah. He knows he just do his spots or whatever, but so I mean, I'll give him a little bit of a thing of just standing around and whatever. I mean, watch any sort of like foreign person in one of these wrestling shows, and you know, sometimes they're just standing around and waiting for the next spot or whatever, or who they have to work with. It just never got there together.
Big presser.
News. Oh, big presser moment. Big presser news.
The AEW World Tag Team Titles are officially vacated per Tony Khan. There will be a title tournament to determine the champions.
All right. March Madness brackets to fill out. So this coming, I guess, on Sunday, we'll talk about
Moxley and Claudio, you think?
I think 100%. I will get to them more, but I will say that my thought is that Blackpool Combat Club versus FTR, I watched that match, and afterwards I said, if we're doing a tag team tournament, that could be a final. I think that could be a final.
FTR can't win though.
No, I agree. I think Claudia and John Moxley would be a better pick here. But it would, FTR would make sense to get the win back. So there's something to that.
Man, but, remember Aussie Open?
I remember them. But yeah, the all-star man scramble match. Yeah, Warlow gets the win. He's going to face Samoa Joe now. Good on him. We kind of talked about this in the preview when we did AEW Revolution.
Oh, I remember what I said when this match was over. I said, I don't think I want to go to Big Business anymore because Samoa Joe versus Warlow is probably happening on that show, and I don't want to see it.
Yeah, he's Warlow screams TV challenge, and that
can't be Dynasty. Cannot.
No. I mean, I guess it could, but
no,
wouldn't, because okay,
because it has the main event. Then
we're talking a month and a half basically from now, right?
Oh yeah, it definitely can't last that long. Can't make it there.
I don't think it can either, especially when you have Big Business. But then it would just be another, who's the next person after that? Who's the next title challenger after Wardlow? That's where I'm at, is I don't know.
I mean, Swerve didn't get pinned. You get Swerve back there by then.
You could, but is that the point where you do the title change to Swerve?
Well, you're running out of time. Or MJF's back by then.
Yeah, that's where everyone's belief is MJF is back by...
And I know how much that excites you.
On a scale of 1 to 10... I give it all-star eight-man scramble.
Nice. Well, not nice. That's terrible, but nice.
I got no other thoughts. Dante Martin looked real rough. AEW International title match. Roderick Strong gets the win. He defeats Orange Cassidy in 12 minutes and 43 seconds. I thought this match started a little slow to get started with, but I think to be fair, it was a little slow, and I think the crowd was also a little dead from the previous match. But once it got going, I think really the spot that got going, obviously, was the sort of tilt-a-whirl backbreaker on the top of the ropes, which will somehow get usurped by Will Ospreay later in the show.
That ended up being like the seventh craziest bump on the show.
Mm-hmm. But that was the spot that really woke up the crowd. If they did that earlier, that would have been probably better for this match. But that was the spot where they woke up the crowd that ended up getting it over to the finish line and ending up being a pretty decent match, I think.
Got more news for you.
Even more news. Oh, my God. Tony Khan.
AEW Big Business. Jay White versus Darby Allin. One-on-one. How the fuck is Darby Allin going to wrestle on that show?
You're telling me you can't? You're telling me that you're unsure about Will Ospreay and on Wednesday, but Darby Allin's for sure making Big Business?
10 days away.
Is Big Business next week?
It's yeah.
Holy shit. So wait, are we going to get back-to-back week? Are you going to Big Business? Have you decided?
I haven't decided yet. I want to see Mercedes, but
possibly Okada too.
I've admittedly,
if he shows up in Duluth, you might get a match out of him in
Boston. I just want the world to know I've seen Mercedes before, so it's not like I'm probably gonna buy it like
they have seen Mercedes.
Yeah, if it's actually, you should.
To be fair,
on this match though, I'll go back to this match. Roddy, and I think Roddy's awesome. That was my takeaway from this match. I watched this match. I was like, he is outclassing.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the slow start, and by the end is like he reminds you that he's a good wrestler. It just, this Undisputed Kingdom bullshit is just so much in the way.
Man, it was so good. It was so good.
See from the presser. Sting gets a Tony hug. Tony says he just announced his match to Darby. Sting jokes, "What's my match?" Awesome. And now Sting's in the presser, so we'll get some maybe heartfelt quotes here. Yeah, fine. I think it was a totally fine match. Roderick Strong and Orange Cassidy. Roddy Strong, obviously, I think this match helped boost Undisputed Kingdom a little bit by giving Roddy the title. I don't know how much it boosts them, but hey, you got to win.
Doesn't matter. Kyle O'Reilly's back.
Yeah, so post-match, Kyle O'Reilly comes out looking like he just finished a nature hike.
I love the new look.
He, of course, you do. He's wearing a Bull Nakano shirt. Of course,
that was awesome. Stick. I was like, this guy returned in a Bull Nakano shirt. That's crazy. Like, what a wild thing to do.
He comes out. He is offered a T-shirt from the Undisputed Kingdom. He doesn't accept it, puts it back on Roddy's shoulders, whispers something in him, much akin to Lost in Translation, and then he leaves. And then is like kind of like crying and upset, but I think that's his crying upsetness leaving the ring was more of like, hey, I'm back here in AEW. Thank you, everybody, sort of
thing. Seeing he almost had a tire? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's my assumption. I guess we still don't know if he's formally retired or not wrestling or whatever anymore. I don't know, but I assume he's back.
Wrestling.
Yeah.
I think actually Fightful reported that it's likely they knew late last year that he was probably looking good to come back.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's the cliffhanger with that. We'll find out what happens this week on, I don't know, on some sort of AEW television.
So much talent, man.
So is that the belief? The next match is probably Kyle O'Reilly versus Roderick Strong?
They could probably wait till Dynasty if they wanted to have him walk up the fake rankings.
Yeah. Obviously, he would have to walk up the rankings to do so. So he can just, you know, beat
just like Wardlow did.
Wardlow was, I don't know.
Who'd he beat?
I don't know legitimately what the last rankings were. I saw the first one. I don't think I saw any other one.
I thought one more after that, but yeah.
I'm trying to see if I assume on the website. Let's see. I don't even.
I'm just happy Kyle's back because Kyle's really finding his legs right when he got hurt.
Yeah.
Which is 2022.
I don't even see.
He missed a full calendar year, man.
I don't even see where I can find.
I think only Tony Khan posts it.
Yeah, I don't even know where I can find the rankings on AEW's website, to be honest. I got no clue. No idea at all.
What's next?
No, this is more important.
No, it's not.
For February. I found it for February 10th.
Great.
It's the only rankings I could find, February 10th, and Wardlow was in fact not on it, but so was Adam Copeland. So they're a little old, those rankings. But I don't know, who knows. Next up was the tag team match: Blackpool Combat Club, Claudio Castagnoli, John Moxley defeated FTR, Cash Wheeler, and Dax Harwood. I spoke about it already that I saw this match, and afterwards I thought, hey, if we're doing a tag team tournament, maybe this is a finals, maybe this is a semifinals. But it definitely feels like we can continue. Again, I thought for me, it started a little slow. I don't know exactly what, but I think it got to a higher high than the previous match. And I think, hey, you know, FTR Bald bleeding up a storm suddenly during the middle of this match, maybe kind of helped that. That sort of sprinkler system, blood splatter from Claudio's swing certainly helped the match a little bit as well. What did you think about the you really liked this tag match. What did you really think about this match?
I did. I thought, you know, they felt disconnected at the start. And then, like, halfway through, they just found it. And it went up to, like, such a high level. The crowd was going crazy for it, finally, because the crowd was out of it, right? You and me talked about how the crowd was kind of out of the OC Roddy match until, like, the very end. They got a little bit into it. This match, they got into it for probably a good half because they just started to destroy each other. Claudio hit this crazy power slam off the I don't remember what the name's called the move, but I keep calling it the Tower of Doom. I know that's not what it's called, but
he did the Doomsday device
Doomsday, yeah device,
which I was really nice.
I'm too tired to think of that.
John Moxley, by the way, new cosplay entrance or entrance guy. Never thought you'd see the day of John Moxley where he comes out like the Road Warriors, comes out like Robin at Wrestle Kingdom. He's hitting his cosplay wrestler.
I just need to point out, they said, the late great Road Warriors. I mean, I was from like, what? Animal's dead?
Yeah.
I know this now. He died in 2020.
Yeah.
But I never knew that. I was in genuine shock. And then I made a comment that I'm not going to repeat on here. But, you know, he died at 60. Natural causes. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, he He died.
The joke, by the way, was not about Animal. I just want everyone to know that.
He died September 22 on his 10 days after his 60th birthday at the Margaritaville Resort. Oh, okay. So he had a house in the Margaritaville Resort. Interesting. Anyways, that Animal. I thought I liked the Road Warrior stuff because, you know, they're sort of, we're talking about the Greensboro Coliseum, we're in the old territory days. So you're calling back to, hearkening back to that idea, but at the same time you have FTR. So I like this idea, this meta commentary of like maybe them coming out paying tribute to the Road Warriors, but maybe also trying to get inside the head of FTR, a team that says they're as old school as they come. And what's more old school than these guys, Claudio Castagnoli and John Moxley, coming out and beating the crap out of some nerds, some wrestling nerds.
Something, I'm going to go through the Sting stuff real quick. I think that was like a nice cosplay to go through. And I watched this match and I was like, these two probably should be tag team champions, Moxley and Claudio. I think they're great.
I'd be fine with that. I think you get a nice reset here. I think FTR is obviously in it. I think Claudio Castagnoli and John Moxley are obviously in it. Young Bucks are probably in it as well, I have to imagine. Mm-hmm.
They should be favorites to win too, I think.
Who else?
No, we're not going through this. Too late. Nope.
Private Party.
So some of the things that Sting said, he was asked why he wanted to go to AEW. He says the first conversation he had with Tony said a lot, impressed him. Tony told him he didn't like the way Sting had been treated in other places and wouldn't be treated that way in AEW. Sting said the vibes in TNA were kind of there, but never the whole way. WWE never had that feeling, but AEW had that feeling for him when he talked to Tony, and Sting says that feeling turned out to be right. Sting asked about future plans. Sting says Tony has said he wants to keep Sting involved, but they haven't talked about it yet. Seems like he might need to be convinced. Trevor Dame adds, Sting says he has no interest in being a manager and doesn't know what he would offer. Sting tells Tony they want him here and they'll figure out. Sting says he's willing to at least have a talk about it.
That's interesting. That he doesn't want to be a manager. He wants to be involved, but just doesn't know what his role could be. Do you see Sting? I don't know Sting history enough. Has he ever been any sort of trainer?
Not that I know of.
Is that something that would interest him? Is he a match producer type? Is that how does he transition to something else, you know, in the corporation that is AEW? Maybe. I don't know.
What I'm reading essentially in my mind is Tony Khan is, he wants to pay Sting so bad. And Sting's like, I'm just cool if you leave me alone. Like, I'll just go away, show up once in a while if you need me, but I'm good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be pretty cool when Sting shows up when Darby wins the world title.
Sting's talking about Ultimate Warrior and how he did the steroids. He says steroid use stopped for Sting in 1990. He says it did not stop for Warrior.
Oh, you don't say. What's the next match? Tony and Deonna?
Yeah, next match, we got the AEW Women's World title match. Tony Storm versus Deonna Purrazzo. Look, you get a lot of sort of that British catch wrestling technical style up top. Then they sort of merge into another match, and then you sort of get the you know, the finish that we already talked about with Daniel Garcia and Christian Cage. It's a TV title. It's a TV title finish for television. You know, it's fine also if you do it once on a pay-per-view. I'll give it a pass. But twice in the women's match, in the only women's match on the show, and not only that, but this match kind of, I don't think it stunk as bad as a scramble, but it was not good.
I got the full quote, by the way. Sting, I don't want to be a manager or an agent or anything like that. I don't know what I could contribute. And Tony said, you're the GOAT. We will find something. but this match.
This women's match. What do you think?
Oh, I have two takes. Mariah May does Tony Storm better than Tony Storm. and
money.
Don't even wait. I'm not waiting. I'm not waiting. The moment she walks in the door, just give her the title. I'm done. I'm done. I watch every single AEW show. And I watch the women's matches on these shows. And for the most part, you're getting great work. You really are. Chris Statlander has been fantastic. We've talked about this many times.
Mm-hmm. She looked really good in the 0 hour.
Mariah May continues to shine in all the little squash matches they give her. Serena Deeb is doing great work, right? Like, just the list goes on and on. But every time Tony steps in the ring, I am left underwhelmed. And this is your world champion.
I talked about it in the, not the preview, but like one of the past matches of like, the one of the main reasons I dislike the timeless Toni Storm gimmick is that it actively makes Toni Storm a worse wrestler because she is wrestling a different style and this whole timeless gimmick and this British rounds catch wrestling style that it's fine that she's doing them, but she's not great at it per se. She's just like kind of like doing the moves that, you know, it doesn't feel motivated other than it's an old timey thing that her wrestler would do because it's from the 40s or whatever. And I talked about in the preview that my hope for this match, and maybe it's my own expectations, I don't think it is, but my hope for this match was going along with the story, maybe we can start off in this catch wrestling, old school wrestling style. I think that's fine. But if we can find a way to, if Deonna can unlock the old Toni Storm and we get into this Stardom, hard-hitting, strong style-esque type of wrestling, you know? But we never get there. It just becomes a technical wrestling submissions match. And right. Deonna's not over enough in this company to make it really mean something. And Toni Storm is an interesting gimmick and all this stuff.
It was so boring.
And then Toni Storm obviously cheats to win. Luther and Mariah May's involvement and all this sort of stuff. And the crowd pops for Toni Storm getting the win. So I don't know, man. I don't know.
I'm either fast-tracking the Mariah story or I'm just giving the belt to Mercedes at this point. Because it's like, I understand like she gets pops or whatever, but I'm sick of walking away from all these titles matches and saying, oh, that was, you know, one of the worst matches on the show, because the talent is there for that not to happen anymore. It's a shame, but whatever. I'm very over timeless Tony, and I've been over timeless Tony for months now. So
and Deonna doesn't look good come out of this. Deonna needed this match to get over in this company some more, and yeah. Now she lost in a bad match.
She'll probably be on Rampage.
Yeah, it's like, where do we go with Deonna from here now? It's, that she's protected in the loss, just like Garcia is, but like still, it's like, where do you go from with Deonna like, from here?
If you were going to go down the technical route for Deonna in a match, at least have it like with Deeb or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tony doesn't do that. You know, Tony's to me only good when she's doing the hard hitting stuff.
Yeah,
but I'm not gonna let this match take me down,
because the next match, Will Ospreay defeats Konosuke Takeshita, 21 minutes and 57 seconds. Scotty, floor is yours.
I think when you do like a moves match, right? That's like a saying these days, like a moves match. You just do so many great, cool things. You got to have the right people to do it. And I think, I don't know who tweeted this, but like, no one else should be doing that type of match. These two should. Because no one's going to match what these two did in the moves match, right? There wasn't necessarily a big story to this. It was, we're putting two of the best wrestlers on the roster in a singles match, and they're going to steal the show. That was the entire thing behind it, and they just let them go out there for 20 minutes or however long it was and do exactly that, plain and simple. And my biggest takeaway from the end of this was, why has Takeshita been doing nothing for so long? Like, he's in. We know the Osprey. I don't need to talk about Osprey in terms of like, oh yeah, he's great. You know what? Dave gives him 5 stars every week. That's not whatever. Takeshita needs to be on every pay-per-view in effort. Like, he just needs to be in big matches moving forward. Undeniably, unquestionably. If he beat Eddie Kingston, I would not bat an eye whatsoever. Because listen, Will is destined to be the top babyface in this company. You saw it in this entire delivery, right? He is the ace of this company already. Now, like, he is taking that top mantle. But Takeshita, man, this guy's just so good. He's just so good. He did some stuff in this match, and I'm just like, what?
Come again? The elbows.
Oh my god!
Unbelievable! So stiff, tight, right on the jaw. Sold incredibly by Osprey,
and of course the Brainbuster,
and of course the Brainbuster on that top.
Brainbuster. That was a backbreaker. Yeah. That was terrifying.
The Oz Cutter into the Blue Thunder Bomb.
Oh my god!
The sort of like DVD Michinoku driver into the like Naruka Doi basement drop kick.
When Takeshita did the cell of like knocked out with like the fingers and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Yeah. That sold it really well. Jeff Bugenhagen, good point in the comments that I want to bring up as well. We are all worried about Don Callis and his involvement in this match. They thought there might be a screwy finish, but instead Don Callis made this match better with really good commentary, that Jeff says. I completely agree. I thought Don Callis was great here and glad he wasn't involved in the finish of the match. We just got a straight up one-on-one match here. And yeah, I thought Don Callis did a really good job. I'm glad he was involved. I love this match, Scotty.
I know you do. Did, sorry. I don't want to cut you off. Darby just goes, I just want everyone to know that I'm alive.
Perfect.
Continue. Yeah, I know you love this match. Let me know why you did. Like, I know you love Osprey, obviously. I know that. Right, I do this show with you every single week. I know what happens when Will Ospreay has a big match. I get that. And by the way, this put that match with Michael Oku to shame, in my opinion.
half the time, number one.
Like half the time, Takeshita's 10 times better. 10 times might be a low balling.
Less story for sure. Obviously,
I didn't need. Like, no. That's the best thing about this match. I didn't need a story. I had story in every other match. I didn't need a story here.
Mm-hmm.
Just freaking do the cool shit. And that's what they did.
Because you know what the story was? I'm just the better man. I'm just the better wrestler in this company, in this family, right, or whatever. It doesn't need to be better than that. I love this match. I think I'm at 5. I think I'm at 5 for this match, Scotty.
You're at 5. Just stop thinking about it. Don't be scared.
I think this is my match of the year. I think I'm just at 5. Like,
don't be scared. Just deal with it.
I think
you have no critiques. Period.
This Will Ospreay, 30 years old, he has been, and I've said this to my friend while watching this, he has wrestled like this consistently at this top level for 5 years. Takeshita, an all-time great, not an all-time, let's not say all-time great worker. Will Ospreay is an all-time great worker. Kenosuke Takeshita is a great worker right now, today. He's a great worker. Mm-hmm. And he has always needed spots like this. And he showed up and showed out in this spot.
Has Takeshita missed?
Not really, but no. he's rarely gotten up to bat.
That's not his fault.
He typically hits, you know, home runs, gets on third base, you know, but he rarely is up to bat.
He has to be up to bat for the rest of time now.
I don't think you're wrong.
He is a superstar.
The level of athleticism is there. The selling is there.
The size, the athleticism, the everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not talking about just Takeshi though. Just the match itself, the two of them. It's they're unbelievable what the two of them can do. They woke up the crowd significantly. All of them a standing ovation by the end of it. The brainbuster on the top rope made me stand up and pace around the room.
I almost threw up personally, because I thought I was terrified. I think with Will, because I do like, I'm someone that I can find his repetitiveness to be annoying sometimes.
That's fair. But, he has a Ric Flairism about him.
Yeah, sure. But it's matches like these where he uniquely does his things where it doesn't feel repetitive, and it's why he's always having these top tier matches, right? This was, I had the same feeling of this match after the Kenny one from last year, Tokyo Dome. Like, oh, that different match, obviously, very different match. But just vicious, physical, athletic, incredible, impressive, checks all the boxes.
And you want to know why I checked all the boxes? There's two boxes that both of these wrestlers check off. And there's two boxes that this match checked off, Scotty. Speed, intensity. That's what I want in wrestling. And that's what I got in Ospreay versus Takeshita. And that is, and I don't give a shit, Tony Khan, if you think that Will Ospreay is not making Duluth. The moment they announced Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher, any listener of this show knows that I immediately went to Ticketmaster and bought my tickets to Dynamite. I turned to my friend Andrew and said, I have to go see this match. I want you to come with me. If you don't, it's fine. I'm going. I have to be there. This is the mecca for me of speed and intensity. Basically, Ospreay clones.
Nice to see Kyle back, by the way. Nice to see Kyle V-sed. Back. You got V-sed, as I'm calling it these days.
It is exactly what I like to see in wrestling, what I want in wrestling. This Takeshita, Ospreay, Fletcher, guys like this, speed and intensity in the ring.
No offense to Fletcher. He does not belong in the realm with those two right now.
No, but look.
But I get what you're saying in terms of like where he's going. He's going.
He's going there. He has it in him.
And he has that stuff. He just has to figure it out.
But he's also 25 years old. He is old as Daniel Garcia. He has time. If he gets to Ospreay's level or surpasses it in 5 years to where Ospreay is now, the start of Will Ospreay's all-time great career started basically where Kyle Fletcher is now.
You know, you keep saying like Kyle Fletcher's 25 and this, okay, Kenosuke Takeshita's 28.
But I think he's got it in him. Jeff Bugenhagen, great question that honestly was a thinker while I was thinking about it. Can Will and Take be a tag team for this tournament? Look, if you want to continue the story of a potential breakup between the Domkowski family, why not have this idea of the two of them wrestling in this tag team tournament together?
Sure.
It could also be that him and Kyle Fletcher. I think that's also totally plausible. And then maybe a second tag team of Hobbs and Takeshita, since they've kind of been a team before.
Absolutely.
And maybe that is like a round that meets up together, all four members of the Don Callis family meeting up together. Mm-hmm. That could be interesting. But I think that's certainly plausible. And I wouldn't be shocked if that happens. In some ways, I almost welcome it.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think that's a very good idea actually to do. And I hope they do it because I think that's a good way to continue the story naturally. They lose because they're off. They're not on sync because obviously they're not a tag team. Mm-hmm. That can lead to Will's eventual exit from the family.
I see that Tony Khan is asking some questions, getting some questions asked to him. immediately.
Oh, I got a few things quickly before we get to Tony. So Sting said that he was always trust Darby, but this to be okay, but this was pretty hairy. Let's not forget that the old guy went through a couple tables too. So he was asking God to help him through get through these tables to finish his career strong. One of the bigger ones. Oh, Darby is leaving for Everest on the 27th.
Interesting.
And he said he was surprised about the match with Jay White. Tony explains it. Darby goes, shit. He's like, all right, cool.
The 27th of March. So he is the 13th is his big business match against Jay White, which he will probably lose. And then Lee and then kick it for a week or so and then go to Everest.
Eddie Kingston will defend his crown at ROH Supercard of Honor.
Okay, that's good. But that was announced as well at some point earlier in the thing. That is, I don't have it written down here, but I think it's the 5th. Is what it is, April 5th. Yes. But yeah. Okay, well, 27th. I guess it makes sense. Take some time off. Lose a match on your way out against Jay White. That makes sense.
Sure.
World title match, world title three-way match. Samoa Joe defeats Adam Page and Swerve Strickland in 19 minutes and 41 seconds. The finish here being a definite heel, Adam Page beating up two referees, basically. Basically tapping out to Samoa Joe's Coquina Clutch sleeper hold. What do you think about the match? What do you think about the finish with Adam Page being the one who taps out here?
I really need to go back and watch this match. I was very out of it after the Ospreay and Takeshita one, but I thought the story that Hangman Page specifically told from start to finish was what carried this match more than anything else. His desire and his drive to make sure Swerve didn't win this. And if there was anything I wanted to change was him, like, at the end, looking at Swerve and just tapping, just be like, you're not winning either, buddy. And then just tapping kind of type thing. But I thought they did a really good job. They were in the dead spot. Like, they were in the worst spot on the show. Like, unredeemable spot compared to what was before them and what was after them. And I thought they did it probably as good as they're going to do. I don't think they got to like a level that I hoped for this match, and that's not their fault.
No, it's tough to be in that spot following Ospreay and Takeshita. What I really liked about this match, a note that I liked was obviously Hangman being a real time diva, getting so distracted about making Swerve lose the match that he ends up not costing him the win. You know, because he got the referee out of the way for Swerve, he lost the chance to win the match with the referee later. But I do want to point out that it doesn't just go one direction with Adam Page. There is a very nice bit of the storytelling here where Swerve Strickland hits his last call on Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe's down. He's out. Adam Page doesn't see it. He's basically slowly getting up. And slowly getting up from his whatever bump he took. Swerve Strickland could have easily pinned Samoa Joe in that moment, but instead he chose to go for, I believe, the last call as well on Adam Page and try to pin Adam Page specifically. So the same idea, if anything, Adam Page is just doing more of a heel part of it, but the same idea where Swerve wants to get the win over Adam Page to win the world title. Mm-hmm. Where do we go from here between the two of them? Obviously, we know Samoa Joe's next challenge is Wardlow, but the thing here, and I think the most important part in that moment, and why I'm specifying it so much, and how important it was for Swerve to go after Adam Page, you try to get the win specific. is that it, to me, it sets up the idea that for Swerve to win the world title, he has to win it from Adam Page. Mm-hmm. Or at the very least, win some sort of tournament or something that makes him the official number one contender for the title. Ultimately, I think it would be better for him, for Adam Page to somehow win the title. I thought it makes sense for him to win the title today. And then, you know, Swerve can beat him later. But I think we've set up the idea now that it really feels like Swerve has to win the title by beating Adam Page versus anybody else. And it would make sense. It's just like, how do you get there? You know, it's just, how do you get there? You know, if you're thinking that Ospreay is challenging whoever for the title at Wembley, right, in the main event, okay, so you have to have Samoa Joe lose to Adam Page, and then you have to have you know, Swerve beat Adam Page, and you know, at some point, and then Ospreay. I mean, this is assuming if Ospreay's even winning the title at Wembley, which is his own question, but it's a lot of it's an interesting aspect of the world title between their feud that I really enjoy right now. And I really can't wait to see more of it.
So, not to poo-poo on your parade, but here I am to poo-poo on your parade. This is a report from Fightful Select. Hangman Page is expected to take time off. They're told that if he does miss time, which is expected, it could be for a few months.
Really?
So that probably plays to whatever the personal thing in his life was. Maybe. I don't want to speculate, obviously, but too much. But does sound like he'll be taking time off, which is why they had the ref stuff. You can work it as a suspension.
Suspension. Oh, very nice. Yeah, we obviously heard that report that he was possibly going to miss the pay-per-view for personal issues. He obviously ended up working it, and we worked in this angle where now he can get suspended for several months and return later, which is very interesting because now that leaves the door open for Swerve to win, and then Adam Page to come in and maybe win the title off of Swerve. That could be fun. Maybe Adam Page returns at Wembley and costs Swerve the title to lose to whoever, maybe Will Ospreay. You know, maybe that's the Wembley main event. That's a lot of title changes in a year. Who knows? Interesting. A couple months. I don't know if it is that personal issue. I don't know what personal issue could cost you to leave for a couple months, but that really stinks if that's the case. I guess it could be a medical thing or something, but hopefully it's nothing too serious. That does kind of stink. That does kind of stink. All right, well then, I thought it was really good. Samoa Joe obviously getting the win. He's going to have a TV title defense versus Wardlow. Big business makes sense for that to happen. I don't see it being a Dynasty in April. That's the next pay-per-view that was announced this night, April 21st. I thought Samoa Joe was great here, as always. It had good triple threat logic of, you know, nonstop action. I never felt like it was dragging like the scramble or anything like that. I felt it was nonstop action. Swerve looked good. Adam Page looked good. Everyone looked good. I don't know. I thought it was a really solid match. I thought it was great. I would probably say 4 stars probably is where I'm sitting at with that match. I thought it was solidly great. But yeah. That's AEW Revolution, folks. That's the pay-per-view. Any final comments from Tony Khan, old Tony Khan, Mr. Presser Man?
Let me double check. He doesn't plan on adding more shows, which is probably good.
What do you mean by after, more shows?
Like after Dynasty.
Okay.
He says it's fitting that Dynasty's in St. Louis, which have been one of the best wrestling traditions in the world, and fulfilled a promise he made to the people of St. Louis. Sure, whatever you say, buddy.
One of the best wrestling traditions in the world.
Yeah. Pretty much nothing that important. They're still in a exclusive negotiation period with Warner Brothers Media.
Okay. Okay.
That's just what's reported. So seems pretty big.
Okay. So they're basically they're in negotiations then. They're in negotiations with Warner Brothers Discovery. And, you know, this is the same thing that happened with WWE. They were in negotiations with, with USA. Mm-hmm. And they chose to lapse those negotiations so that they can play the field. They obviously played the field and they were able to get big money from other places that isn't USA. They are obviously, AEW is obviously in negotiations with WBD. They can obviously choose not to accept whatever their offer is and play the field. Is that something you want to do? I don't know. I don't personally, I don't think that is. Tony Khan, we know his loyalty to Warner Brother. If they can figure out a thing, but honestly, there's an argument that there's a bigger deal out there if he don't go to Warner Brother. You know, maybe you want to play that field if you're feeling confident. I don't know. Do you have any takes that what they should do if they should stick with Warner Brothers or play that field a little bit and try to maybe see if they get a little too money?
I think there's a 0% chance they go anywhere else.
Why do you say that? Why do you say that?
I just think his loyalty to Warner Media is as loyal as anything. Because I don't know. I've never heard of an exclusive time. Like exclusive negotiation like this. Especially because, like you said, WWE played the field. And I'm pretty sure a contract comes up at the end of the year, right?
For AEW?
Yeah.
I assume October, right?
That's what I would think. So, like, maybe
I guess, I don't know if it'll be October, but
I think he's gonna. I think they're gonna end up on Max and lock it in.
Yeah, I think Max is.
Yeah.
Good news, I'm guessing, from Scotty.
Tony Khan says he's talked to CML about bringing Stephanie Vaquer.
And that's all. That's all. The only women.
Listen.
That's the only big time women stars from CMLL that we want.
Someone asked CML woman would be part of the trading, and he said he wants to see Stephanie Vaquer in AEW.
Hey, we talked about it when we talked about the visas on Ring Post Radio earlier today. You know, there's people that don't have their visa issues. You know, Mystico, Atlantis, and Lance Jr., we know we're all available. Magnus obviously was available here. We don't know the status of everybody else and their visas, but Stephanie Vaquer worked the Battle in the Valley, if I'm not mistaken, so she has a visa. So bring her over.
Give me the door. I have a question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question to ask Tony.
Oh, okay, sure. Go ahead.
How many actual conversations have you had with Rossi Ogawa?
As a conversation that you and I had earlier in Slack.
Yeah, sure did. But
I see also Tony Khan says that he believes the gate was $1 million, give or take. Sure. Which seems low, but I don't know.
Ooh,
here's a good one. Tony asked about the rumors that Ricky Stark's contract is up and he's leaving. Because if you saw, there were rumors that floated around Twitter that Ricky Starks' contract was up when he was leaving. Could I find the original tweet? No. So Tony says, Tony seems unaware these rumors even came up today and says they're not true. Puts over Ricky and Big Bill as a big part of Sting's final run with a tag title change. And then basically that's the end of the conversation. Tony reiterates that they have big plans for Atlanta, Boston, Toronto. Yeah, I'll be there in Atlanta. Will you be there in Boston? And will we both be there in Toronto?
I'll definitely not be there in Toronto. It's interesting. They're coming to Massachusetts twice. They're coming once the show before Canada and the show after the Canada tour. So like,
yeah.
And the one of them's a AEW Dynamite and Collision taping.
Yes, that's I assume the latter one. I know the Duluth one in Atlanta, there's a taping on Wednesday for Dynamite and Rampage and then Thursday for Collision. So we have a taped Collision for Saturday.
Interesting.
They have big business on the 13th, and then they go to Canada that Saturday in Collision, and then they have an entire tour in Canada. They come back to Worcester in April 3rd, Supercard of Honor in Philly, April 5th.
Worcester. Who are you? Every other person that doesn't live in New England?
Basically. And then they have a couple other shows. They have Dynasty on April 21st, and then in May, they are back on the Canada tour.
I think I'm going to talk myself probably into big business eventually.
I think you got to go. It's a big time show. You might see Okada wrestle.
But I might not. I've seen Okada wrestle.
Yeah, I guess to be fair, you have to see big guy over here has seen Okada wrestle. I think
I'm going to see Okada wrestle. That's the thing.
I think it'll come down to whether or not he shows up at Dynamite and Collision.
I think that's the show he shows up. I don't think the show he wrestles.
I think it's possible.
Yeah, keep getting your hopes up, bud.
Well, yeah, you're getting a singles match, Darby Allin versus Jay White before he Everest and jumps off of it through a glass plane.
Yeah, listen, they're talking me into the door, okay?
The forbidden door, if you will.
Why, Ayana?
I have not seen Okada wrestle live, I think.
Have you seen Will Ospreay?
Nope.
Well, you're supposed to.
I'm supposed to. I will, Tony Khan. I have to will that into my universe. I bought tickets specifically for this, for Will Ospreay.
He's going to wrestle. He's a sicko.
He better wrestle. I better sell that bit kidney, too. That's what he better do. Yeah, I thought this was a great show. Let's see if we get any sort of update number for Revolution. At 9.24 is still where it's sitting. Has to get 9.55 to beat All Out on Cage Match. There is still that one.
Well, a lot of people have to do comments right now, and no one wants to do that.
Yeah, there's still that one vote stinking up in the bottom. But I assume when we wake up in the morning, or at least by noon or something tomorrow morning, then
I think sure the most incredible thing is the Osprey match in the main event, both 9.4.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I think we'll. And I think the best way to do is end out on that full one star rating to really give our full thoughts. Worst pay-per-view I've ever seen. Tons of meaningless matches. Way too many table spots. Daniel Garcia is horrible. Cage was the best heel in the business.
Oh, don't give this person the time. Don't give this person the time. Here's my review. If you didn't watch this pay-per-view, watch this pay-per-view. If you didn't watch the main event, watch the main event.
Well, hold on. He has a good point here. He had a really good point here, and I think you would agree with him here. The 8-man scramble was trash. The whole match seemed like 6 guys laying down outside the ring and 2 guys wrestling inside the ring. Completely pointless.
That's correct. To be fair,
hopefully they do something interesting with Kyle O'Reilly. All right.
We're giving way too much time to this person.
The women's match sucked. All right, I can hear what he's saying.
Do you think? Tony Khan's favorite wrestler is Will Ospreay.
Probably.
At least
modern wrestler, sure.
I've watched.
It's not Jay White, I'll tell you that much.
I watched this, and now I watch Wembley, and the delivery they give him,
mm-hmm.
compared to like
Jay White.
Everyone else.
Jay White specifically.
Not even just Jay White. Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Like this is this is Tony Khan. Okay. Rolling out the red carpet all by myself. Okay. Pushing it out. Okay. That's good. Oh, okay. We're gonna give you a special entrance. Mm-hmm. We're gonna give you all the time in your entrance. We're gonna give you this 3 different segments to introduce you as part of the roster. We're gonna put you on a show. In your home, and you're not even signed to this company. We're gonna make sure you do that, and you're gonna win. Will Ospreay has 3 singles matches in this company. Well, he has more than that. He has
technically 4 now. Too. Technically 4 right. now.
Either way, he has 3 pay-per-view singles matches, and he's beaten Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, and Kinosuke Takeshita.
And Orange. No, he lost to Orange, right?
No, he beat Orange too. You're right.
Yeah.
He's 4-0 on pay-per-views. This is his favorite wrestler.
He's beat every single star this company has.
How quick do you think he's giving him the tell? Like, all in, right? We're not waiting that long.
Yeah. I don't know. I think
he wins it all in, gets the crowning moment.
I really think he's winning it all in. It's just a question of is it Samoa Joe? Is it Swerve? Do we do the title switch if it's Swerve? That feels like it's a lot of title switches, but it's Ospreay, so I don't think it matters. And then there's the whole MJF of it all that I don't like. but, you know, well, I think you do. I think everyone's thinking that's the title switch, and I think there's a chance that it's not. But I think right now it's you should do it. I think it'd be stupid if you don't.
AEW, New Japan just tweeted in Japan this week. We have limited tickets for our anniversary show, and I'm just losing it. It's like, man, don't even try right now. Oh man, we're back to last thing I'll say, because I want to go to bed. I have work in the morning. When a show delivers and actually exceeds your expectations, mm-hmm. especially when I said like a month ago I thought this could be the best pay-per-view in AEW history.
Yeah.
There's no better feeling. And as someone who is for the past month or so kind of been out of it with wrestling, just because I've had to cover the dooms and glooms of my field, of my particular field, watching this show, I was just like, all right, this is why I love wrestling. And this is nice. It's a nice feeling. I just wanted to say that. And great show, great matches. What a cool time we live in.
Yeah, I think this is it's hard to say if this is the best wrestling period in history, but at least for, you know, it's so great not only watching WWE.
It's even greater when you don't watch WWE really at all.
Because you get to experience AEW and truly fall in love with it.
Which is funny, because I never gave the praise on Ring Post, but I did want to praise The Rock's like 21 minute promo, because I thought it was actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a shit now.
Yeah, but I'd have to watch WWE watch that. I can just follow The Rock on Twitter.
Oh, I thought the promo segment that they did on SmackDown was good too, but the 21 minute promo that he put on social media was good. But I listen, this is what people wanted from AEW. This is the alternative. I watched the show and I was like, this is the alternative.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like, by having this alternative, you get to see some great wrestling. And if you want to see more great wrestling, it's like, you know, there are people, either WWE fans or AEW fans or whatever, American fan of wrestling, that this was their first time exposure to Will Ospreay. That if they wanted to step outside the bubble and watch New Japan for the past 5 years, they could have seen this kind of great wrestling for the past 5 years in New Japan. But there are people out there that this is the first time exposure to Will Ospreay. And they don't need a video package to explain who he is.
How is this the first exposure to Will Ospreay?
You have to think. You have to think there are people that have never seen, that don't watch Japan and just think, oh, who is this guy? And maybe they're coming in. I know, I understand what you're saying, that he's wrestled in AEW before. But I have to think
Wembley's more watched than this.
Probably, but who knows?
There's the Sting heads, maybe. So
I'm saying that there is probably one person at the very least.
Okay, that's just true.
I'm not saying droves, hundreds of hundreds of people. I'm saying that there is one person that this is the first time they decided, you know what, fine, I'll tune in. I watched Sting back in the day. I'll tune in and watch this one pay-per-view to see what it's all about or whatever, right? And then they're finally exposed to what AEW is. They're exposed to Will Ospreay. They're exposed to Takeshita. And it might change some minds. And if anything,
or
I think what you're sort of describing,
technically.
Whatever you're describing about getting back into wrestling from watching this pay-per-view, I think I have to say it, Scotty. I think this interest from outside fans, I think this re-interest in wrestling, I think AEW has restored the feeling. I think they've done it. So thank you, Timeless Tony Storm. Thank you, Wardlow and Undisputed Kingdom.
AEW will never reach its full potential until the women's division is up to the same degree that it should be. And that starts in 10 days.
Yeah, I'll see you in 2 weeks.
It starts in 10 days. They have no more choice.
Yeah, so any other last thoughts about this pay-per-view? Or AEW,
fantastic show.
AEW where it stands or anything like that?
Gonna be tough to beat this year. And I will end it with this. No other company in history has signed 3 all-timers all at the same time. Ospreay, Okada, Mercedes. None. All 3 are going to go down the history books. And the craziest part is that they're just going to keep like this. AEW has the potential to get better than this night.
Yeah.
They have that potential.
They haven't even brought in Okada or Mercedes Moné yet.
Mercedes Moné is a difference maker in a whole different way because that is a mainstream type star that they don't have. Uh-huh. And I think Dave actually made a good point. Like now this is AEW's chance to make Ospreay the guy that brings people in.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing. Like while Danielson's great, while Omega's great, they're older.
Yeah.
This is the guy they're going to go with to try to do that.
There's an investment to him.
And you're also arguably adding the greatest Japanese pro wrestler of all time. Like one of the greatest to your ranks. While watching a 28-year-old Kenosuke Takeshita do absurd things. I don't know how you don't do him in Okada like Dynasty.
Yeah.
I would do that. Like I understand you don't want Takeshita to lose a lot. But I don't know. I'm just doing something big for. I'm okay if you hold one. You should be holding either Okada or Mercedes debut for that show. In ring debut, obviously. But this AEW is riding a high right now. I'm riding a high right now. One that I desperately needed as a fan of this business. I can't wait to just go to bed and think about what I just watched. You know, like you're right. The feeling is back. The feeling of AEW is back. And you know what they didn't need to do that? MJF. So thank you. So long. Goodbye. Ugh.
So good.
He
can hit the bricks for all I care. Let's clean up that roster, folks. All right. Yeah, that is it for us and Ring Post Radio. We'll be back this Sunday for a brand new episode, a live stream on Twitter and YouTube. And I guess, oh, hold on. What's that? I'm getting something in my ear real quick. Oh, sorry. We're going to have to wait. We are getting some cues.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Every year, the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame receives a new crop of potential inductees. And on our new Countout Patreon series titled The Ballot, it's our job to discuss whether or not these newbies should become Hall of Fame wrestlers. Hello, my name is Ryan Knightsey, and every month, a guest and I will analyze the regional careers of newly balloted wrestlers for the Observer Hall of Fame. Are they day one votes? Do they belong at all? Find out on The Ballot every month on patreon.com/countoutpod. Again, check out The Ballot on patreon.com/countoutpod. We hope to see you there.